Who the hell are you and why are you here?
I'm Whit Johnson, and I'm here to display my bicycles.
Excellent. Yeah. So I was just interviewing Adam Sklar, okay. And I'm over here because he said, I got to go talk to you, that he's stoked on what you're doing.
Well, that's nice.
And
that's nice of him. Thanks, Adam. I'll give you that $100 later.
So what are you doing? I didn't even look closely at your bikes. I've seen them probably years before, but I didn't take a close look, which is a major faux pas on my part. But tell me about, is this your King of the Hill right here?
This is my Elevated Chance Day fat bike. So, yeah, this was a project with a guy, Mike Kuriak, who wanted a bike to fit 5.5-inch tires.
It's absolutely gigantic.
It's huge. 110mm rims. And we were trying to get as short chance days as possible because he has his theories on how fat bikes should ride and float. So he wanted tucked rear end as much as possible for that size tire. And then slack front, short stem.
Never proper. Heard those terms to a bike before.
No, I know. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's all my terminology, by the way.
So he's a fat bike guy. He's really into
it. I did a Rod Trail Invitational up in Alaska multiple times and won. And so he's a fat bike guy. So he and Peter Basinger is another of his friends who actually just rode the ITI and finished sixth just last week on this bike, but a different version.
Cool.
So this is... Yeah, they like the rear end tuck, so the idea is that your weight is more over the rear axle, so it floats better.
It floats better over snow.
Over soft surfaces. So, yeah, it's okay. Purposely made for, his trial and error has found that if you have a shorter chance days, lower pressure, and a slack front end, long front center, you're going to have be able to control the bike over soft surfaces better than you could if it was different.
You know what?
What?
It works like that for all off-road bikes.
I know. And that's why they're all doing that now.
You've seen my bikes.
I know your bikes, yeah. Your drop.
The hybrid?
The hybrid, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about hybrids over at Skyler there.
I love
that. Yeah,
that's
pretty crazy.
No, I mean, it makes total sense. It makes every bike ride funner, basically, and better. Way better,
Basically, if you're building anything that goes off-road, you got to get your front wheel as far forward as you can.
Take the weight off the front wheel, and it'll climb better.
Well, you put your body weight on it, actually.
You got to weight
performance.
It for downs, the only thing is weird is when you're climbing steep ups, and you kind of swerve around a little bit. But it's harder to weight
the front
wheel.
Try the steeper seat angles.
Steeper seat angles. Yeah, I'm doing 74.5 on this guy, but it's
74 to the rail.
Effective, yeah. So
Yeah, so that's right in there. Yeah.
So I'm not doing it.
Because they're all bent seat posts.
Yeah, you have
seat
to do the
now.
Actual effective.
So you do the effective to the rail.
Yeah.
And 74.5 is totally in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You start getting steeper. I find your arms just take the abuse.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, then you can do. I like the steeper because you can always use the layback. But I guess there's not a lot of droppers with it.
No droppers with that. Pretty much with droppers, you're gonna have a zero offset.
Right.
That's life.
Yeah, that's true. That's too bad.
So let's talk more about you and what you're trying to do. This is sort of like you designing and building for someone else's passion, this bike. Or is it your passion too?
No, I love fat bikes too. And I started fat. I grew
Where are you from?
Sacramento area. So,
you're Sac right now?
I'm Sac right now.
Okay.
So I was in Colorado when I started. And then I moved a few years ago to Northern California. Yeah.
Cool.
I grew up in Marin and then moved to Colorado for college and stayed there for 20 years. Now I'm back. I love the plus thing and the fat bike thing. I did snow back there and I love riding on snow. I love trying to get lost in the snow. So it was one of those things. It was a natural thing for me.
I'm not a snow guy. Let's say I wanted to build a bike for snow. What's sort of like your key points that you'd say, oh, you're building a snow bike. This is what you got to do. It makes all the difference in the world.
Well, it's just what we were talking about. I think it's the tucked, rear end. It's the longer front center. And it's also just making it have the ability to run as big as tires you can on a wide as rims. Because there's rarely a time where you're going to say, fat biking can either suck because you are not getting traction and you're not floating. Or it can be super fun because you're floating and you're getting, you're able to ride the bike instead of push it.
So that's it. Screw weight. Screw any other consideration. Just get big tires.
Get big-ass tires because you can always put smaller tires on it. You got to watch the bottom bracket, obviously, the bottom bracket height because your pedals will hit if it's too low. But trying to make something that is not just for one tire size is really important, I think, because not a lot of people are going to buy a fat bike just as a dedicated fat bike unless they live in Alaska or Minnesota or somewhere where there's consistent conditions. So having a bike that can do like this guy right here, this is one wheel set. The next wheel set is a 27.5 by 3.8, which is kind of more of a, whatever, a race wheel set, but it's also fun on dirt, kind of.
Sure.
I don't ride fat bikes on dirt, though, so I just do
more like a plus.
2.8 or something.
Yeah. But. So, like, looking at this fork right now,
yeah.
I'm thinking about doing a BMX clunker 29er type bike, and I was thinking of a Type 2 type fork, and you got one here.
Yeah.
Give me some advice on building a Type 2 fork.
Talk to Steve Potts.
Well, you're doing one here, or did you get it from Steve?
I talked to him. No, I didn't get it from Steve. So I built one because there were no Unicron blades that would be that wide.
Totes.
So,
yeah. That's why I'm looking at it.
It's hard to find. So, yeah. So I got a bender that is just a standard Pro Tools 105 bender. And I got this is inch and an eighth by 058. And that's just inch by 035. And it's just a sleeved setup. You just, you braise.
How deep
in
do you go in?
about an inch or so, just as long as it will get to the bend. I did it, probably around wherever the bend starts.
And you are using silver?
I'm using, System 48. So it's not the 56, but it's a little bit stronger than the 46. But you could use brass too. Yeah.
Sure.
I think that you're gonna get higher up there with silver, but. Yeah,
it's probably a better use of silver.
It is, yeah. And it's a pretty tight tolerance. It's not super, sure. It's tight. But I've had a few of these. This is my, fifth fork of that. And it's almost too rigid, but I thought it would be too plexi because of this. It's
sure.
Such a big, wide fork, but it's so much of the 058 that it's really rigid with the steer.
Now, so, granted, you're coming out from more, fat bikes, a little bit more touring-ish and
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, right.
Like, I look at that bike because, I'm going to want to get a little rowdy with this fork.
Yeah.
Have you ever really pushed these suckers hard on against rock?
I've done it on dirt, but I've never on a BMX type bike. I've never railed a dirt jump.
I'm thinking smashing
stuff.
Some rocks.
Yeah.
No,
I haven't done that.
Okay.
I don't think that'd be very fun on a fat bike.
This is gonna be 29er. I mean, yeah. It's just something so when I have to be faster than the other guys and still run no front brake,
I was gonna do inch and a quarter uppers and then inch and an eighth lower, so you could definitely do that. There's enough room on the steer for that to welding those, so
yeah. I'm looking for a real BMX aesthetic.
Oh, well, then you do straight blades
real BMX, you'd have a unicrown.
Blades, bend the whole blade to be, but then you're doing full-on really
oh
big,
no because yeah. I'd like to step down a little too. It's just all that tricky stuff, how it goes.
I there was no Unicron blades for that, and he did not want a segmented fork, and that was all I was doing at the time. So he's like, can you figure out how to do a Unicron? I said, okay, well,
I'm a fat city guy.
Yeah, I know.
Me to want to do something besides segment, it's I'm kind of done with that.
I know, but he was into the aesthetic, even though it's a pretty ugly bike because the elevated stays. He wanted the matching of, the S-Bend seat stays with the Unicron fork. So I was I'll figure it out,
It's really nicer on the bike you have.
Yeah.
Got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of curves and a lot of big tubular look.
So
having the tubular look fork.
Yeah, I agree.
It's good.
I mean, I really like how it looks and turns out. So I built it. I built a couple. Then other people liked them and wanted them on their plus bikes. And that's when I emailed Potts and I said, I'm calling this a Type 2 Steve Potts inspired fork.
You're not going to get away from that. Yeah.
No, I mean, it looks like it,
So that's how we're going to call it,
And he took a while to respond, but he was very thoughtful and said, I didn't realize this, but the Type 2 was patented at one time.
Uh-huh.
And it was the bend and the scallop. And those are the two things that he said were the radius and the
specific
those
radius.
The specific radius, and it was for, at the time, a 26-inch wheeled mountain tire. So even though, this doesn't fit that, conflict with that patent, and the patents run out years ago, he was just saying, I'd prefer if you just say, hey, mate, don't call it a Type 2. You can say it's Potts inspired, but, I used a different scallop. I used, at a 30-degree angle instead of the really thin tongs that his has. And I used a different radius just to get around the big tire. So he was, he said, don't worry about it, but just don't call it a Type 2. So I'm not on Instagram and stuff calling it that.
Sure. I think we all try to give the people that deserve the respect for something the respect.
Yeah.
You don't want to trample somebody, but at the same time, it's kind of in the public sphere at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if someone were to break my fork, and they said, oh, I broke a type 2 type fork, that's going to come back and haunt him possibly, and that's what he was worried about, you know.
Sure.
Anyway, that was the idea. So anyway, that's, if you're doing it, yeah, it's a cool looking fork, and I think it rides real well.
So what else in your booth would you say is something you're really kind of stoked on, or from a design or construction point of view, is something that makes you kind of pull your hair out, or just kind of what kind of just gets you?
Well, I mean, each one of my bikes is kind of a one-off, like especially the one seen here, except maybe this one. This is Merle. Merle the bike is a bike for a customer in Alaska who loved Merle Haggard. And Merle Haggard passed away this last year, and she wanted a tribute bike to him. So that is painted as his guitar. It's a sunburst orange Telecaster with the pick guard is white and et cetera. It has a rigid that matches it too, but I didn't bring that because she didn't get to build it in time and cut the steer to length. But she went all off on this. So this has internal cable routing for everything for the dropper. It has internal routing for the top. This is a stainless steel internal routing here, so it'll have bags that you can bolt on. It's a bike packing bike and her cross country mountain bike. So this is for a gas tank bag up front and a seat bag back here, but this is linked, so you can, if you so desire, put some green stuff in here and suck out of that.
Was that a big thing of Merle Haggard's?
I guess so. Yeah, him and Willie used to do that
quite a bit, I imagine.
Right. I don't know if it was, but she really just wanted something. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, for
sure.
Now. You know, okay. It's stainless, so it won't corrode.
People that know me know that I'm just glad I don't see in a bottle opener.
Well, there's a bottle opener right there.
Oh, you fucking killed me, dude. On that, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Pete.
Right.